You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, our guest says most people are wrong when they think mass incarceration is based on the failed war on drugs. We'll find out more. Right now, Michelle Martin is weekend host of All Things Considered, but over the past few years, she's gotten out of the studio and into communities across the country to take a look at national issues through a local lens. These conversations are billed as Michelle Martin Going There. And the next stop is here in Wisconsin tomorrow evening. The event is sold out, but you can participate through a live stream on the NPR website and Facebook page and by using the social media hashtag NPRYCollege. Michelle, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, in addition to your role as one of the hosts of All Things Considered, you've been involved in a project, a big project called Michelle Martin Going There. And in a literal sense, it's taken you around the country. Where did the idea for Going There come from?
You know, this is our third season, and so to be honest with you, I don't remember now. I can tell you, though, that the first one that we did, I don't even know that if it was even branded as such, was in Ferguson 3 weeks after the unrest there in Ferguson, Missouri. We were, as I think people remember who follow these things, that, you know, Michael Brown was killed on August 9th, and that all the events that kind of followed that happened pretty quickly, and we were asked by St. Louis Public Radio to come to help facilitate a community conversation. We were there 3 weeks after those events occurred, and after that event, which was very intense, as you might imagine, we were asked to come back, and so we did. And so we wound up doing actually two events in Ferguson in the span of a couple of months. And also, I know that the Kresge Foundation has been supporting this work, and they have asked us to kind of just take this ball and run with it wherever it may go. And so in partnership with member stations around the country, we've been collaborating on conversations that people think they want to have. And so we get together, you know, we organize it, we pick a venue, and we invite the guests, and on we go.
Can you talk a little bit about what that first conversation or two in Ferguson were like? You walked into a situation that was very fraught emotionally, a lot of high intensity going on there, and getting people to dialogue at that moment seems like it would be extremely difficult. What was it like?
You know, Ferguson was intense, and we knew it was going to be intense. I mean, I have to tell you, you know, setting the scene for you, this was August. We met in a church in Ferguson. It would have been perhaps more comfortable to meet at the very lovely studios of St. Louis Public Radio in downtown St. Louis, but the station decided, correctly in my view, that it was more important to take that conversation to the place where things were happening. So we were meeting in a church called, you know, Wellspring Church, literally blocks away from the public safety offices and literally blocks away from where a lot of the events that had sparked the nation's attention took place. It was standing room only. It was every seat taken, standing room only. And once people heard that we were there and having this conversation, people started to come who hadn't even known about it because it went active, it went kind of viral on social media. And when a lot of the younger people, for example, who perhaps are not customary listeners to public radio, heard that this conversation was taking place, they started to come. So it was the kind of one of those. It was one of those days that you really don't forget. I mean, you don't forget of being part of something like that. And many people who were there that day told us that they didn't know that there were these feelings among their neighbors, or they were not aware of the way that some of the policies that they took for granted affected other people. Similarly, there were young people who told us that they had not been in a room full of people who didn't look like them, who they didn't think cared about the issues that affected them. So, you know, obviously everybody wasn't in love with it. You know, there were some people who didn't feel that they felt that, you know, their point of view was different than perhaps the ones that were most visibly expressed. But I guess what I'm saying is that in traveling around the country these last couple of years, in having these conversations, what I have seen is that there is a real desire for people to have these kinds of conversations, but they aren't sure how to get them started. people are sort of waiting for somebody else to get it started. But once you create an opportunity for people to talk about these things, I have found that many people are very, very willing and eager and happy to have a difficult conversation.
We're talking with the weekend host of All Things Considered, Michelle Martin, about her project called Michelle Martin Going There. Her next stop is in Wisconsin tomorrow to talk about higher education. And you will be in Wisconsin this week to talk about the purpose of college education in 2017. And basically the question you're asking is, does everybody really need a college degree? And what makes this question a big one for Wisconsin, and not just for Wisconsin, but for kids and for families around the country?
Well, I would reframe it just a tiny bit to say it's not so much a question of does everybody need a college degree, but what is college for? And what does college do? What's it for? How should it be paid for? What should you do if you go? Now, we know that the Obama administration placed a high priority on college preparation and removing the barriers to college preparation or improving college preparation or college access for students from all different backgrounds. That was a high priority. We also remember, if you remember the 2008 campaign, there were a number of people who criticized him for this. I remember Rick Santorum in particular, who I do have to note has three Ivy League degrees, said that he thought that the soon-to-be president was elitist for putting such a focus on this, because he said that, you know, perhaps there are other forms of education that are equally valuable, not just to the individual, but to the society. So we're going to really try to dig into this question more broadly, which is, what is college for? And what does it do, not just for the person, but for the society, particularly in a public education system, because in a public system, you're asking everybody to help pay for it. So if everybody's helping to pay for it, is there a benefit that they have a right to expect? Should the educational system be geared toward the available jobs? Should it be geared toward the particular employment that is in that area? You know, everybody, I think a lot of people know that, you know, a lot of the land grant university systems were very much geared toward the agricultural economy. They were very much geared toward kind of improving agricultural science and, you know, learning how to take care of livestock, you know, learning the best ways to grow crops. And that, you know, over time, you know, maybe that changes. I think it's not a secret that, you know, out west, for example, in Silicon Valley, even, you know, the high school and the middle school and the elementary school systems are very oriented toward the world that these parents live in and work in. I mean, they're very technologically oriented. I mean, I know I've been out west and I've been in some of the counties in the Silicon Valley area, and I've seen kids in fourth grade, you know, doing PowerPoint presentations to present their work. And that would be shocking to some people in other parts of the country. I mean, like, you know, so I think it's a really, it's a deep question of, you know, and I think that the higher education system in Wisconsin has been a source of pride. I mean, the fact is it dates back to the state itself, to the creation of the state itself. And so I think it's very deeply ingrained in people's sense of what Wisconsin is all about. But it is also the case that many people, particularly in the state legislature, are starting to ask questions. And also, I have to tell you, not just in Wisconsin, really all over the country, a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, if I'm paying for this, what am I paying for? As you'll note that there have been questions, as there are periodically, I have to say, about, you know, specific classes that are offered. You know, very often people will look at a syllabus, sometimes because their own child is going to a particular institution, and they'll say, wait a minute, I'm paying for that? What's that about again? It's an age-old question, but it's an important question, and it becomes, I think, particularly important at a time when people see resources as being perhaps more scarce than they have been in the past. And they also see, perhaps, they don't necessarily like how the U.S. ranks on the list of, say, skill sets compared to international students. There are also, as you would imagine, you know, really rich discussions about who should get access to this resource. Should it be people with immigrant backgrounds? You know, should it be, you know what I mean? So I think those are all the kinds of things we're going to talk about.
I want to ask you about the panel, because you have this really broad representation of people who are going to be at this panel besides yourself. There'll be Charlie Sykes, conservative talk show host, cartoonist Linda Barry, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Stephen Thompson from NPR Music, and that's a broad cross-section. And these aren't necessarily, you know, the group of people you'd find hanging out together on a Tuesday night. So what happens when you bring people like that together that don't normally dialogue about an issue like this?
Well, you know, the other thing I do want to point out, we're also having a great panel of current students, too. I do want to make sure that that part of the story gets out there.
Three UW students joining you.
Yeah, four. Yeah, four students. And I think that, we're actually having two panels. One is a panel of current students, and the other is a panel of, previous students, post-students, who are going to give their ideas about what they think college is for. You know, one of the reasons we invited Charlie Sykes, of course, is in addition to being, you know, a very well-known talk show host who just recently hung up his microphone, although I do point out that he's been helping out with a national series called, you know, Indivisible. He's been helping out in New York mm-hmm. once a month for the last couple of months. He's written a couple of books with a provocative thesis around higher education. You know, one of them is called Fail You, The False Promise of Higher Education. So that's one of the reasons that we invited him. Linda Barry, of course, you know, who doesn't know Linda Barry? Stephen Thompson, one of our favorites, of course. A little biased there. one of the things that we have found is maybe it's the service that we provide is bringing together a group of people who otherwise would not necessarily be hanging out together on a Tuesday night. And seeing what would happen and also bringing them together so that they can share ideas in a way that they generally don't get a chance to do. I mean, it's you know, I tell people, you know, perhaps the easiest way for me to describe it is what it isn't. You know, it's not a constitutional convention. We are not charged with, you know, debating legislation. It is not a town hall. People don't just, you know, get up and sort of testify and yell at each other. But what we do have are the kinds of conversations that I think many people would like to have. And maybe it's kind of in our heads. It's our idealized Thanksgiving dinner, except that we don't serve food. Well, we do serve food, actually. There is a reception, which is one of the reasons, which is one of the good parts about actually coming in person to these events, is that we always have a little bit of a reception afterwards. We do, you know, have, you know, a little nosh or some cookies or at least, you know, something to drink. It's kind of your idealized high-level Thanksgiving conversation, which you would have if you know, all of your relatives actually came to talk about one thing instead of complaining about, like, their arthritis or something. And they all get to share their ideas, and everyone is invited because he or she has some stake in the conversation of some particular point of view to share. So we're really excited about this, particularly the opportunity to talk with, you know, both current students about what brought them what's their story? What's your journey here? And why are you here? And what are you hoping to have happen? And also for people who are, you know, have a different vantage point, either as representatives of the people or as people who navigate different points of view, or people who just want to tell a story of how they've used their education for themselves.
Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope you enjoy Wisconsin and have a wonderful conversation here.
Oh, I can't wait.
Michelle Martin is weekend host for All Things Considered on NPR. Her event in Madison tomorrow is sold out, but there are still ways to join in. It'll be streamed live through the NPR website and also through NPR's Facebook page. You can also engage on social media with the hashtag NPRYCollege. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a law professor about mass incarceration and how he says we can achieve reform. I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.